Moments with Moses, episode 11, The Shining Face. Number one, the glimpse. Number two, the glow. And number three, the glory. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. What a hymn that is. Written by Charles Gabriel Hutchinson, a man who was anointed by the Holy Spirit to write over 8,000 Christian songs, many of which we sing right up till this hour. But there was one song he wrote, which soon after he wrote it, was translated into 17 languages, and there were 17 million copies printed of the words and music. And it goes like this. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near my dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me. And the inspiration behind that hymn was a man by the name of Edward Card. He was a Sunday school superintendent who, when the gospel was preached, would interrupt the preaching by shouting, "Glory! Glory to God!" When asked who he was told this, "Oh, that's old Glory Face. Old Glory Face." Can you picture him in your mind's eye? Smiling, singing, shouting, shining. Today we come to an episode in Moses' life where he shines with the glory of God. We begin with a glimpse. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18 to 23. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." The golden calf has gone, but a golden moment has come. Moses is in the presence of the Lord. We are outside of the camp. We are outside of the tent of meeting. We are with him at the base of Mount Sinai, in the cleft of a rock above him, a rock below him, a rock beside him, a rock the other side of him. He is asked if God's presence will go with him. He's received the promise of God's presence with him. Now he says, "Please show me your glory." And God reveals part of his glory to him. It is just a glimpse. But what a glimpse it is. Look what it says. "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." Here is the glimpse of God's glory. In human terms, so that we understand it, it's as if Moses sees the back of God. Because he cannot gaze into that transcendent, that intrinsic glory of the one who is infinite, eternal, and all glorious. But look what's revealed. God who is good. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And revealed is his name, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the self-existent, infinite, sovereign creator and controller of the universe. Look what's revealed, his grace and his mercy. It's a sovereign grace and a sovereign mercy to whomever God bestows. But he's not allowed to see his face, that full-orbed, intrinsic brilliance, radiance, transcendence would just be too much. The glimpse. You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Do you remember what Isaiah wrote and spoke about in Isaiah chapter 6? I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his glory filled the temple. Do you remember the picture of the seraphim, unsinning angels, who burn in brightness for the glory of God and go as his messengers? They have six wings. With two they cover their face. With two they cover their feet. And with two they fly. If unsinning, burning seraphs cannot look into the face of God, but cover their face, how can man? What does the Bible say? God dwells in light unto which none can approach. What does the Bible say? He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot look upon sin. Moses is a sinner. How can a sinner look into the face of God? He dwells in light, unapproachable, charging angels with folly. The very heavens are unclean. But here is this privilege Moses has. He catches a glimpse of the goodness, of the name, of the mercy, of the grace, of the glory of God. Number two, we have the glow. Exodus chapter 34. Verse 29, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterwards, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. Moses has now gone back up the mountain to spend the second 40 days of fasting in the presence of the Lord. You know, growing up, you learned, didn't you? 30 days hath September, April, June, and November. The rest have 31. You know, that's the lunar way of looking. 365 days in the year, 52 weeks in the year, 7 days in the week. Where does 40 fit in? There's a great significance of Moses being in the presence of God for 40 days. Remember, Noah is in the ark for 40 days. Remember that Moses is in Egypt for 40 years and then 40 years in the desert, and then it'll be another 40 years in the desert. Remember, he spends 40 days up Mount Sinai, and then a second 40 days. Some people think from the book of Deuteronomy, he may have spent another 40 days there. Remember what happens when they get to Kadesh Barnea. The spies go to spy in the land for 40 days. Remember David, as he's got his sling in his hand, because this man, Bully Beef Goliath, for 40 days has been roaring out his challenge to Israel. Remember Elijah going on the strength of a heavenly meal for 40 days. Remember Jonah preaching and granting 40 days for Nineveh to repent. Remember Jesus entering to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. Remember the disciples of 40 days with the risen Christ, so that they can say he was seen by many infallible proofs. What is the significance of this 40 days? Well, certainly, it's a place of preparation. It's a place of pruning away. It's a place of transformation. Now Moses is 40 days again, fasting in the Mount of God, in the presence of God, before the face of God, in the Shekinah glory of God surrounding, as he's there in the cloud. New tablets of stone are given. The Ten Commandments are given again. The laws are given again. The covenant is renewed again. The feasts are told to remember. And Moses comes down the mountain. Can you remember last week, the first time he comes down from the mountain? He hears a shout of war in the camp. You can picture his face, can't you? It's frowning. There's anger in his eyes. There's a scowl on his face. There's a snarl on his lips. But not this time. This time as he comes down, his face is shining. Shining with the Shekinah glory, with a radiance. Such radiance that Aaron and the people are fearful. Now come on. Moses is an old man. He's in his 80s. Let me ask you, just to observe those who are sun worshippers. Observe those who spend a lot of time in the sunshine. What happens? As you get older, your skin becomes tight and wrinkled. He's an old man. He'd been in the desert for 40 years. You'd expect that face to be wrinkled and frowned and tight. Now it's shining. And Moses didn't even know that the skin of his face shone. He'd spent that time in the presence of the living God. He didn't even know that his face is shining with a radiance which causes Aaron and the people to be afraid. And look what happens. He has to put a veil. Every time he goes into the tent of meeting, the veil comes off and he's in the presence of God communing with him. When he comes out, his face is shining so much, he has to put a veil upon it. There's great significance in the fact that Moses veils his face. But he didn't even know that his face was shining. Because here is a supernatural holy radiance, a glow from heaven. Number three, we have the glory. Because if we want to understand this passage, we have to have a New Testament interpretation and application. So read with me in 2 Corinthians yet again. Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters of stone, and look at the word glory with me, will you please? Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What a New Testament passage this is, as the Apostle Paul is speaking about comparing the Old Covenant with the New Covenant, the Old Testament with the New Testament. Remember, the Bible can be divided simply. It's about two men, Moses and Jesus. It's about two mountains, Sinai and Calvary. It's about two ministries, the ministry of law and the ministry of grace. Here is the Apostle Paul applying the shining face of Moses to our hearts today. He compares the law with the Lord. He compares the stone with the Spirit. He compares the condemnation with righteousness. He compares the temporary with the permanent. He compares the veil with the presence. He compares the inferior to the superior. I have in my pocket somewhere, I hope, a little candle, and here it is. Have you ever lit one of these? I suggest that if we turned all the lights out here and lit this candle, we would see a flame. But then let's put all the lights on. And then let's get the great searchlights in here. And then even more, let's go out into the burning sun and see how it would compare. So the Old Covenant, as glorious as it was, does not compare to the glory of the New Covenant. The law does not compare with the Lord. The granite does not compare with the Spirit. The condemnation does not compare with the righteousness credited to our account. That which was temporary does not compare with the permanent. Moses wore the veil because his face was fading. And it would fade, just as the Old Covenant would fade away, because it was inferior to the superior New Covenant. How wonderful that is. If you look at that passage, you'll find the law, verse 6, kills. You'll find the law, verse 9, condemns. You'll find the law, verse 11, fades. You'll find the law, verse 14, hardens. You'll find the law is a veil. You'll find the law, verse 17, enslaves. But the Spirit brings life and righteousness and glory and permanence and welcome and freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. There is liberty. It is a greater glory which is ours in Christ. The glimpse, the glow, the glory. Take these lessons home with you. Lesson number one. We New Testament Christians are truly blessed. If only we realized how blessed we are. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The law said, do, do, do. The grace of God by the Holy Spirit says, it's done, done, done. It's done. It's finished. The debt has been paid on the nail once and for all, forever. And we are the true spiritual aristocracy. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special people. In case you don't know it, and I'm absolutely certain you don't feel it, we battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. But you know, our position in Christ is in the heavenlies, robed in a righteousness and a glory far brighter than the shining face of Moses, far greater than even the Shekinah, because a righteousness credited to our account which makes us like Jesus. How blessed are we? Lesson number two, God is with us. That was fading, that old covenant. This new covenant is in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fills and indwells the New Testament believer. He is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, no matter what. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in the whole of creation is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. This Holy Spirit of God indwells his people and changes us, which brings us to lesson number three. We are being changed. Sanctification is a process. But believe me, according to the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans, glorification is already our blessing. Isn't that amazing? And here the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians, we're being changed from one degree of glory to another. Oh yes, you're like Pilgrim and I'm like Pilgrim. We go through the slough of despond. We go up the hill of difficulty. We fight in the valley of humiliation against Apollyon. Yeah, we get wounded. Yes, we go by bypath meadow. It's many dangers, toils, and snares in this one life towards our journey to glory. But glory is our destination. And we will be what we would be, and we shall be what we should be, and things which are not now nor could be, then shall be our own. And we are being changed from one degree of glory to another. So much so that when the Apostle John wrote, he said this, children, that's what we are, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Do you remember that wonderful quote of John Trapp? Think to yourself, though it be beyond the reach of any mortal thought, what an inexplicable glory it will be to gaze forever upon the glorious body of our Lord Jesus Christ, shining with incomprehensible beauty, and to consider that every vein of that blessed body bled to bring you to glory. Think to yourself, though it be far beyond the reach of our imagination, that you and I, sinners by nature and by practice, so much so that Job, a righteous and perfect man, could say, I am vile. Think, says John Trapp, this vile body will be advanced and honored above that of even the brightest cherub. We're being changed from one degree of glory to another. And we long, don't we, for that day when there's no more struggle, heartache, pain. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory. Be glory for me. Number four, pray for the beauty of Jesus to be seen in you. Remember Kitty Wilkinson, may the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. Remember her, the last verse, may his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel seeing only him. Get into the presence of God. There is no substitute for time with God. Set your alarm clock earlier. Find your secret place. Cry for God to show you his glory. Cry to him that his presence will be with you. Say, fill with your spirit till all shall see Christ, only always living in me. Let's stand and sing, shall we? I love this song, Glorious My.